Take your Bibles tonight and go to the book of Luke chapter number 18 with me, the book of Luke chapter 18. We've looked at a couple of parables, a parable about forgiveness, parable about not following those that will take you into the ditch, because the blind, leading the blind will take us into the ditch. Tonight, I want to look at a parable that is found in Luke chapter 18, and Jesus Christ is speaking a parable about a widow woman who comes to an unjust judge and asks to be avenged of her adversary. And so that's the parable we're going to look at tonight. Notice with me, beginning in verse number 1 of chapter 18 down through verse number 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. So this judge doesn't care about things that are spiritual. He doesn't care about natural law, I would say. And we have many judges just like this today. They don't care about spiritual things. You know, you go back in our own country and you understand that, and I've mentioned this, but there was a time when in every courthouse, the Ten Commandments were prominent, because those are the Ten Commandments. They're natural law. All of those things are natural for all of mankind to live by. But this particular judge, he did not fear God, neither regarded man. Verse number 3 says, there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. So she had been wronged in some way. She was a widow, which means that she did not have a prominent place in society, and she was coming to this judge for help. But the Bible says in verse 4, he would not for a while. He would not avenge her of her adversary, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me. In other words, she doesn't give up. She is persistent in her trying to get this judge to avenge her. So the judge says, I don't fear God and I don't fear man, I don't regard man. Yet because the widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now there are some great principles that we find in this passage tonight about this unjust judge and this widow. Let me just say to you tonight, we don't serve an unjust judge. We serve a judge that is gracious, he is merciful, and he listens to our prayers. So the idea here is if an unjust judge will avenge a widow because of her persistence, how much more can we trust the living God that we pray to if we'll just be persistent? Now, I've entitled the message tonight, Pray Until Jesus Comes, because that's exactly what is taking place here in the context, and I think you'll see that in just a minute. Then, after we look at that part of the Scripture, then I want to also preach about some things that would cause us not to be persistent in our prayer life. Lord, once again, we thank you for the opportunity to preach the Word of God tonight. Thank you for the gospel that saves our soul. Thank you for Christ, Lord, who we have salvation in. And Lord, we are not only praising God for our salvation, but we need to praise God for our maturity in Christ, that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And so tonight, once again, I believe that we can find something here from this parable that Jesus is teaching His disciples, that we need to be persistent in our prayer life, that we need to pray till you come for us, and that this would be cultivated every day in our life. God, help us to be people of prayer, because if we're not, we're not being the disciple that we should be. Not just a little prayer here in our mealtime, but persistent prayer. Asking God for a vengeance of the adversary to help us against the darkness of this world that comes against us. Lord, to praise You, to honor You, but then to be persistent in the prayers that we pray of people who need to be saved and people who need You, Lord, and healing or whatever it might be. God, help us to be persistent as this woman was to an unjust judge, that we as children of God would be persistent to a righteous judge in our prayer life tonight. In Christ's name we ask, amen. Now we see that in this parable, a widow woman continually pleading with an unjust judge to avenge her of her adversary. Now the judge did not regard man. He did not fear God. He was not concerned about something that should have been concerned about. I could spend a lot of time tonight and go back to the Old Testament or the New Testament to speak about how God cares for the widows. And because God cares for the widows and how they are treated, then we should understand that we should be people that treat the widows correctly. And so, and you can go many scriptures. You could go to the Old Testament where people were not being favorable to widows. And God says it and makes it very clear. New Testament and Old Testament, He will judge people like that. So this judge was not one that was going to regard man or fear God. But the judge finally grants the request of this particular widow because he got tired of her continual coming to her for help. And finally granted her petition. Now, he said it very clearly. I'm not going to do this because, in verse 4, because I don't fear God, I don't regard man, but I'm telling you, this woman is wearing me out. Now, some people are like that. But it should be that we're coming to God on a daily basis, not stopping, don't quit, continually praying, begging God for whatever it might be. I pray that you're praying for our election. I pray that you're praying for the salvation of people that you know. I pray that you're asking God continually to be with those that are on our prayer list that are going through these different things. I mean, we need to beg God to discomfort the Philistines. Remember that? I mean, that was the prayer of Samuel when the Philistines were coming. And we're going to see the next, after they had a revival. But, you know, we need to not quit in our prayer life. And Jesus, if you want to get the context of this, because I think that is very important, and that's why I'm saying pray until Jesus comes, because Jesus was teaching His disciples about the second coming. In fact, you could go back to chapter 17 and verse 22, and He says, "The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in His day." But He goes on to tell us what must take place before the coming of Christ. First, there must be but first must He suffer many things, be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. And so He's talking about the second coming of Christ. Now, He says, continues to go on that, and then He starts the parable. And He talks about this widow and this judge. Now, notice with me the reason I want you to understand the context of what we're looking at here in the coming of Christ is when He says this in verse number 8, "I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless," here it is, "when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth?" Now the idea is not only will He find faith on the earth, but since He's been preaching and teaching about prayer, maybe we could even say it like this. Will He, when Jesus comes back, for us? Will He find people being faithful? Will He find faith on the earth? Will He find those who are sticking by the stuff? But will He find people that are continually praying? And Jesus says, when He comes back, hey, He will avenge us of everything. There are too many people today that are trying to bring vengeance on other people. They're trying to do it themselves. They're trying to do things that they have no business doing. You need to take your problems to the Lord. You need to take Him, your petitions to Him, your supplications, your burdens to Him. He will be the one that avenges it. He will be the one that will put down the enemy. We're not going to do that. He's going to do that. But you know what God wants us to do? He wants, when He comes back, for His people to still be praying. And that's why I believe that the title of the message should be, Pray Until Jesus Comes. Don't stop. Every day. And so as Jesus was telling them to continually pray and not to faint, He was telling them to do that as they're waiting on Jesus Christ to come back. I don't know about you, but I do believe that the second coming of Christ is very soon to take place. I mean, the pandemics, the craziness of our world, the darkness. It is hard for me to, I mean, just in my lifetime, and I'm not as old certainly as some people here, but I'm older than I used to be. But you think about in my lifetime, as a child, I went to public school, was educated in a public school where the Bible was read and prayer was given every day. When we would stand in line to go to the lunch, we had prayer. And when we went into our sixth grade class, fifth grade class, the teacher would recite the Lord's Prayer. I know that's a model prayer, if you would. But we would be taught how to recite the Lord's Prayer. On Friday night football, when football is a big deal in many parts of the country on Friday night football, there was prayer that took place before the football game. Now, if you say that to a millennial today or somebody that's been born in the last 20 years, they think you're crazy. Because we've regulated or taken prayer out of the schools, we've taken the Bible out of the schools, and now we have come to a place in our society where it's anarchy in many cases. And there's actually a debate whether there should be law and order, or if we should have people, little people that, might talk people into not doing stuff. No, that's ridiculous. But that's where we're at in our country. Defund. I mean, I can't even imagine somebody would talk about defunding the police. Now there's somebody talking about defunding the military. So I'm just saying we have rapidly advanced to darkness, greater today than ever before. And then you have the pandemic, and it's not just a United States pandemic; it's a worldwide pandemic, and it is real because I've had it, and many people are very sick because of it. And I'm just telling you, if it doesn't teach us anything else, we must pray and not faint. And our praying cannot just be hit and miss. It cannot be like a spare tire that we take out of the back of the car when we get a flat tire. Prayer is not something that we do just when we're in trouble. Prayer is not just when we're overwhelmed. Prayer is a part of discipleship. It's a prayer. It's a part of our everyday life, and it must be cultivated. And so the basic thing here is, as we wait for Christ's return, right now Jesus tells us our duty is to pray and not to faint. And the unjust judge avenged the widow, basically because he got tired or he got weary of her coming day after day, or we don't know if it was day after day or week after week, but we do know that the judge said, hey, I don't fear God, I don't regard man, but I got to get this lady off my back. And you know what? In a reverent way, that's exactly the way the Lord should be with us. that we should be praying for Him every day, every day, every day, praising Him every day, thanking Him every day, giving Him our petitions, our supplications, every day, every day, every day, every day. And then don't be surprised when God said, okay, well, I'm tired of hearing that one. I'm going to answer it in such a way that would glorify Him. Prayers are not to glorify us. Prayers are to glorify Him. And I'm telling you, I have learned to pray, God, this is my, you know, Romans chapter 8 talks about how that we're to pray in the Spirit. And that don't mean rolling your eyes in the back of your head and gibbering something. It means intelligently speaking to God. And even though in our heart we may not even know how to pray, because we have this desire, we want somebody to get better, we want somebody to get saved. Now we know it's the will of God for people to be saved. So you can pray for people to be saved, and you can beg God for people to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish. But when it comes to some of our other prayer requests, we don't know. We don't know what God's will is for this person or that person. But I can certainly tell you what my will is and what I'm desiring. But always be reminded to say, God, if it be your will, oh God, get honor and glory. And I tell you, when I say, God, you get honor and glory by raising this person up or answering this prayer request. Show yourself mighty, God. And when He does, we need to go to Him and praise Him and thank Him for what only He can do. We are not in control, people. God is in control. God is in control. And here's what we have to understand. The difference, as I mentioned, between the unjust judge who avenged the widow than the God that we pray to every day. And that is this. Our judge is gracious and full of mercy. So how much more will He avenge us of the adversary if we will just continue to pray and not to grow weary and be found faithful when He comes back and be found praying when He comes back? Wouldn't it be good if you're on your knees in prayer and you're talking to God and have supplication and the Lord comes back? That'd be a good time. Verse 8 tells us that God will avenge us, but will we be found faithful when He comes? That is the question. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, will we be found faithful in our prayer life? Now, we know that the reason that the Lord has given this parable is because He wants His disciples to pray. He requires them to pray. He requires them to continue to pray. And not only are they required to pray, but they are required not to quit in their prayer life. And that's why in verse number 1 He told them this parable unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We have a duty to pray. Prayer, by the way, can I tell you this? Prayer is contrary to the flesh. Prayer is very much hard work. I've talked about praying through the Psalms. And the Psalms are good prayers. They're good songs. They're prayers. There's prayers put to words, and they sung them. And I'm telling you, when you come up on a Psalm and it's praising God and giving God glory, pray that. Pray that. But then you'll come to times where David was in deep despair. He was overwhelmed by the situation. He would beg God greatly to help him in his prayer life. One of the ones that's just been coming over and over to me is Psalm 61, where David cries out, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed. You ever been like that? I feel like that a lot of times as a pastor, especially when we're going through things and people have sickness, people are sick and in the hospital and all of these things. Listen, but you know what? The preacher said it right on Sunday night, and I was thankful. He said, it just ain't the preacher that should be overwhelmed. It should all of us be overwhelmed with the situation. And our heart and when your heart gets overwhelmed, here's what David prayed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And then he goes on to say in this prayer, for Thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. Don't forget what God's already done for us. Don't forget what God's already brought us through. Don't forget what God can do. But it's okay to be burdened and overwhelmed and cry out to God. But here's the problem. As soon as God gets us through the trouble, or through the tribulation or through whatever it is, we quit praying. No. That's when you praise God. You continue to pray. Prayer is contrary to the flesh. It's very much work. But it's our duty to go to God and give Him our petitions. Fasting is contrary to the flesh. Oh my. Nobody likes to fast. You know, just me fasting ding dongs. I mean, that's pretty good for me. It's more than that, though. Fasting is contrary to the flesh, but necessary in our prayer life at times to abstain from some things that we might focus on prayer. Prayer is not an option. It's a duty. When Jesus said the word ought in chapter 18, verse number 1, the word ought, it says men ought always to pray. The word ought means it's necessary. It means there's a need. It means it is right and it is proper to pray. And when I say pray, I'm not talking about at mealtime. Lord, thank you for the food. I'm convinced about meals we should pray after we eat it, because I don't know if I want to be thankful for it or not. But I do know that there are times where we need to systematically meet with God on a daily basis. Personally, I think that's morning, early. Earlier the better. And we see that this judge here, he was not concerned with God. He was not concerned about, he had no regard for man. He did not fear God. And I'm afraid that the courts in our land are full of unjust judges. They don't consider natural law. You say, well, what is natural law? Go to the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. That's natural law. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's natural law. Thou shalt not commit murder. That's natural law. That's why abortion's wrong. It's murder. All right? That's natural. I mean, those are just natural things that God puts within people to understand that's natural. And I'm afraid we've come to the place where men don't consider natural law. I'm grateful for the Constitution, but I'm more grateful for the Ten Commandments. I'm grateful that we live in a country with freedoms of speech. But you know what? I've been following preachers this week who are going to court because they've been fined because they opened up their church and they did this. And today one gentleman was fined $50,000 and they moved it down to $5. You know what that means? That means the judge realized that they were wrong in doing that. But they wanted to make sure that they still got their little say in. So they charged them $5 instead of $50,000. That's a big difference. Now there's other churches that are suing the governor of the state because of their unlawful practice of closing down the churches, and it is unlawful. And right now it shouldn't even be a consideration. Folks, listen, nobody makes you go to church, but you should be free to go to church if you so choose to go and assemble with God's people. Even the Constitution or the Bible doesn't say if there's a... And I think there's prudence. I think we've done the right thing by closing our church when we've had COVID and we're trying to get through that 2-week period. But it shouldn't be the courts telling us. It should be the pastor saying, hey, I think we need to take a break here. Not a court telling us. And there's all kinds of things going on like that right now. And you know why? Because those judges are unjust. Speaking of prayer, it is judges who have deemed prayer unnecessary and have asked and told the public to stop praying. The Bible declares prayer is a right and proper, because the word ought. The Bible declares prayer is right and proper, and the courts say we cannot do this and we cannot do this. And I'm just telling you, the reason I bring this up is because there's a contempt for the Word of God in our land today. In this parable, the judge was an unjust man and did not fear God. But the woman's prayer was answered anyway. And not only is prayer to be a duty, but we need to dedicate ourselves to prayer. The word always comes into focus when we make this statement. Now, always does not mean to pray every minute of the day, but rather always means the attitude of prayer and to be regular about it. When I say I always brush my teeth, it doesn't mean I do it all day long, but I do always brush my teeth. And so should you. I always take a bath. And so should you. If we're to have a prayer life that is proper, then you have to have regular times of prayer. Just like if you eat every day, do you eat every day? Oh, yeah. Then you should pray every day. Do you enjoy? And I take great pride in making the meal and asking Robin first thing when we wake up in the morning, what are we having for supper tonight? Preacher, you don't really do that. Ask her. Yes, I do. Because I want to know what meat to take out of the freezer. Because I don't want to be missing out on eating supper. So we got to take out the beef or the chicken or the pork or whatever it might be. You know what? Because I'm concerned about supper. But I should be more concerned about prayer. Dedications to prayer, regardless of our situation. Prayer is duty. Prayer involves dedication. Prayer is not to be laid aside. Now, when he says this, not to faint, he says this. Men ought always to pray. It should be something that is under heavy consideration, that is important. But not to faint means we're not to grow weary or to give up. 9/11 took place. I'm trying to remember that fellow's name that got saved a couple days after 9/11. He was 89 years old, Brother Fred. He came to you. He was all nervous about his wife, Rousey. Was it Rousey? Rowley, yes. And he got saved there after 9/11. But later on found out his wife had been praying for him for like 25 years. 25 years. You know what? She didn't give up. Now, if God had to bring 9/11 along, or 9/11 had to take place, I'm not saying God did that. I'm saying God used that 9/11 to get the man's attention. Well, I tell you what, if God can't get your attention during COVID, you may have a very hard heart. If you can't learn to pray as a child of God and disciple during the time of COVID, you've grown hard. You've grown hard. But the thing I want to do now is I want to say, listen, don't grow weary. Don't give up. Don't lose heart in praying. But now I must make a different turn here for just the next few minutes and maybe ask the question, well, why wouldn't we have a prayer life? Why wouldn't we, our discipleship be such that we pray every day? Why would we not always pray? Why would we faint? Well, there's some reasons. One of them is sin. When people get sin in their life and they get defiled, they won't pray. You know, God says in the book of Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So you cannot have it both ways. You can't live in sin and have a prayer life. So God says, men always, to His disciples, men always to pray. It should be a priority. It should be important. But if sin comes into your life, it'll cause a person to faint. Sin will kill interest in spiritual activity. Sin will cause people not to want to go to church. Sin will cause people not to read their Bible. Sin will cause people not to be obedient. You know, you wonder why people quit going to church. Why do some people used to sit in the front row, sit in the back row? How come they, and I'm not saying there's anything sitting in the back row, but I can tell you this, when I go to a baseball game, I don't say to the guy at the ticket, hey, can I get the back row seat? I always say, how close can I get to the action? And they'll say, well, it costs more up there. Okay, I'll pay it. Because I want to be where I want to be able to see. I don't want to be distracted. And so, and you say, well, I preach. At least I've been a pastor for 32 years. It makes me scratch my head, but people leave church. People do this. You know what? Then you find out later on, they're in sin. They quit praying. They quit reading their Bible. They quit being interested in spiritual activities. And when you allow sin in your life, your prayer life will be zero. If you try to pray in defiled condition, your prayers will not reach God, according to the verse I read in Psalm 66. It is the pure heart that will be strong and steadfast when it comes to prayer. You cannot have sin that is unconfessed and expect God to hear you. Now, when you sin, if you'll confess your sin and go to Him and ask for forgiveness, He is faithful to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Another reason that people quit praying is they doubt God. They just doubt. They really pray. Sometimes they'll pray, but they don't pray thinking God can actually answer the prayer. Now again, God's always working, and God's answering prayers different than maybe we would want Him to answer them. But God is working. God wants us to, He wants to hear from us. He wants to know our heart. He wants to know our supplication. But when we pray, He doesn't want us to doubt. He wants us to believe that He can do what only He can do. And if we have doubt towards the Word of God, then we'll have doubt toward the answering of God's Word. People who doubt God's Word, we're going to doubt whether God can answer prayer. Now, to me, the sweetest and the most precious prayers are those that you don't put in. And again, prayer lists are good and we should have them, but sometimes there's just prayer that we don't go to our closet to, and only we have spoken to God about it, and then when God answers it, we're like, only God can do that. And doubt can come when we continue to pray and it seems there's no answer. Can you imagine a wife or a husband praying for a spouse that's unsaved for years and years and years? You know, we are human and doubt could come into our mind, but we can't doubt. I say that it seems there's no answer, but God is at work even when the prayer is not being answered like we think. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says wait. And you know what He does in this parable that we're reading tonight? What did He say? Wait. I may not even answer this prayer until I come back. But when I come back, verse number 8, I tell you, He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You mean, preacher, He may not answer our prayers till He comes back? Correct. But when He comes back, He wants us to still be praying those prayers and not doubting. I don't know how long ago it was, but I remember talking to a man who said to me, "You cannot prove God answers prayer." I said, "Excuse me?" I said, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder to them that diligently seek Him." The unbelieving world doesn't think much of prayer, and they often make fun of prayer. But my friend, no matter what anybody says to you, you can pray for them. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who use you and despitefully use you. Now, you know your prayer life is headed in the right direction when you can pray for those that have wronged you greatly. You pray for them anyway. And you ask God to be with them. If you walk by faith and not by sight, then prayer must be a part of your Christian life. And part of that prayer must be praying, believing. I believe God. I trust God. I don't always understand what He's doing. I don't even like sometimes what He is doing. But I trust Him. And because I trust Him, I can praise Him no matter what. Keep praying and don't stop. Just like the woman in the parable, she wouldn't give up. Two men went on KP duty and they found themselves peeling potatoes. Mini potatoes. Stacks of potatoes. And they decided that KP duty meant keep peeling. But for the Christian, KP duty is keep praying. Keep praying. Keep begging. Keep your burden before the Lord. You know, it can be dangerous to pray. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, Daniel prayed when he was told that he shouldn't pray. But he opened up his windows anyway. We just read that story. I'm actually a little bit ahead. COVID's put me ahead on Bible reading. But Daniel went to the Lord in prayer every day. He was consistent. And so the people that hated him set up a law that said, well, if he prays to God instead of the king of the Medes and Persia there, then he'll be put to death. Did it stop Daniel? No, even though it was dangerous. Actually, it turned out to be a lot more dangerous for those who tried to put Daniel in the lion's den than it did for Daniel. Because when Daniel was in the lion's den, the lions got lockjaw. They couldn't even open up their mouth. I mean, I could just see Daniel opening their mouth, looking at their teeth. But they couldn't open their mouth until they threw those wicked people in there, and all of a sudden they got unlocked jaw. Now, many times people are afraid to pray in public because they're fearful of what people think. We shouldn't be fearful of what people think. We're talking to God. Today people are being threatened with lawsuits if they pray in public. The danger of embarrassment affects people more than physical harm, though. The devil is the master of distraction when it comes to prayer. Now, I don't know about you, but if you ever been in prayer and then all of a sudden your mind starts wandering away to some other place? That's why you got to focus. I think a prayer list is good. You say, well, do you have to pray with your eyes closed? You can pray with your eyes open. You can pray with your eyes closed. You can pray on your knees. You can pray on your face. You can pray on your back. You can pray in your closet. You can pray in your office. You can pray in your bedroom. And if you have OCD or you got ADHD, then you got to focus even more, because there's distractions. And today we have distractions like cell phones, texting. Those things need to be laid aside, folks. You can live your life in prayer without a phone. Have you ever gotten your time of prayer and very shortly afterwards your mind gets attacked or your mind begins to wander? That's because the devil's trying to distract you any way you can. Why? Because he doesn't want you to pray. You know what this lady did? She kept on praying. Even though it seemed like the judge didn't care. And guess what? He didn't. He didn't fear God and he didn't regard man. But she just kept coming every day, every day, every day. So my question is, can you cultivate a prayer life all the way until Jesus comes? And you say, well, preacher, that's a long time. May not be as long as you think it is. But when Jesus comes, he needs to find us faithful in our prayer life. Faithful in our faith. So I want you to ask God to help you tonight. You go, well, I'm not very... Well, then repent and start a prayer life right now. You know what will change this church? You know what will change your family? You know what will change this community? It won't be our talent. It won't be our persona. It won't be our programs. It'll be prayer. Amen. Preaching and prayer are the keys to the Christian life. Let's all stand tonight, every head.